Amnesty International has been working to protect human rights worldwide for many years. We have more than 2.2 million members and growing with supporters and subscribers in 150 different countries in every region of the world. We are a non-profit organization and a democratic self-governing movement. If you want to get involved, join our organization, make a donation, and appeal for human rights action around the world today. For more information, go to www.amnesty.org.
And you're listening to WUSB Stony Brook. It's 1 minute after 6 o'clock. That means it's time for Off the Wall. Really, it is. It's stuck. The CD player's stuck. Look, I'm hitting the play button, and it's not working. It's not playing. Wow. Okay. Well, you know what? We're prepared for this. Well, no, we're not prepared for this. This has never happened before. How about if I hit these two at the same time? No, that doesn't work either. What I'm going to have to do, folks, is transfer this to another CD player. Fortunately, we have two, and this is why we have two. But it takes some time to get the CD out of one and into the other. In the meantime, let me say once again, you are listening to WUSB in Stony Brook. And if we can all forget that just happened, let's say it's 2 minutes after 6 o'clock time, once again, for Off the Wall. There, that was smooth, right? Well, have a very good laugh at our expense for not knowing how to work a CD player. You know, Kyle, you've been explaining to me. By the way, this is off the wall manual here. Kyle over there, you understand how these machines work. And, someone pressed a button that with a little amber light. And apparently that amber light exists to make it not work or to put it into shift mode. And in shift mode, the play button is no longer the play button.
Yeah.
Which, to me, makes no sense. Why would you have a CD player that doesn't have a play button?
Well, what it does is, I believe, it adds a second layer of menu options to mm-hmm. those buttons. So every button has a primary function, but when you press that shift key, uh-huh. it changes each button to an alternate function. So play becomes repeat, pause becomes jog.
But you can't repeat something that's not playing. I can't get past that. I'm sorry.
Right. But the repeat options, whether you repeat track, repeat mm-hmm. disc, you know, however the behavior when you get to the end of a song is done through that layer of the buttons. Consider it like another layer of the button's functionality, thus the shift or function key.
You know, I can try and understand it. I can pretend that I understand it. I don't understand it. I don't get it. I don't appreciate it. I like buttons that do what they're... And it's not like you don't have enough buttons you can put on something so you don't need a shift feature. You know, like, you know, the DVD players.
I would cut your losses and be happy that it's not a touchscreen.
I will never be happy with any of this.
Uh-huh.
But DVD remote controls, this is another thing I just have to get out.
We've
all seen them, right? I mean, we've gone through 50 of the damn things.
I'm actively going to support you and not be critical of whatever you're about to
say. No, I think you should be critical because this is what I have to deal with all the time.
No,
because
I'm
no
not
matter
here.
What, they're going to be defending useless bits of technology as opposed to a human being that's just trying to get through life.
You will inadvertently put me in the position of tech-shaming you because I'm somehow rolling my eyes
tech
over...
Tech-shame away because somebody's got to do it, all right? Can I get back to the DVD remote?
Yeah,
because
go ahead.
This is something that I've had them for a long time, for as long as DVDs have been around. Why are there so many damn buttons on those things? Have you ever used the numerical keypad on a DVD remote? And if you have, what have you used it for?
Entering...
You've never used it, have you? No one's ever used those buttons. I don't understand. Why can't you just have a very simple, tiny remote play, rewind, skip, fast forward, whatever?
Oh, you mean so tiny it doesn't fit in your hand, or so tiny you can't see it,
tiny.
Or so tiny?
It doesn't have to be that tiny. It can be something nice and solid, you know,
uh-huh.
that you feel good about. And okay, as long as I'm on the subject, with Optimum, the cable company here, they've got these remotes that, oh boy, you just would not believe these things. You have to press a button several times for it to respond, and then, God forbid, you just happen to brush against it. It does everything you don't want it to do then, because it's misinterpreting your movements, but if you want it to do something, you have to do it three or four times.
Are you sure this is a cable box, device?
It's not just that. There are so many remotes in my life right now, and they all annoy me. All right, and I'm always constantly trying to go from one to the other and hitting the wrong thing on the... You have to have these little tiny tactile fingers that know exactly how much pressure to put on. I think, you know, we're going to evolve into another race, and I'm not going to like that race because they're going to know exactly how to swipe phones and not touch something. My phone is another thing. Oh, my God, I can go the whole hour, can't I? You've seen me with my phone where I'm trying to do something and another program opens?
You were
choking. And I didn't want that to happen?
You were strangling a Roku remote last night.
On this very show, we called somebody after saying, don't call this person, live on the radio, because the thing misinterpreted us. And yes, the Roku, oh my God, I can't even, I don't think I can keep it clean if I'm talking about the Roku remote. This thing just decided, I'm no longer a remote. I'm going to do something else.
It's not the batteries.
It's not the batteries because, and we know it's not the batteries because what happens after about 10 minutes, it suddenly does what we asked it to do 10 minutes ago. It's like it's got a part-time job doing something else.
Yeah, and it's telling us that it wants an SD card. It's like it's saying it's hungry. Like,
you know what?
Feed me an SD card and maybe I'll work better.
I want an SD card too. It doesn't mean I'm going to stop doing what I'm supposed to do
mm-hmm.
before I get one.
Yeah.
Grow up already.
Doesn't that feel better? I mean, you feel
it does
at least
feel better.
A little bit of relief. That's good.
Except that Trump just tweeted on my phone, and I have to turn that off.
Hold it down. Listen to Nancy.
How are we ever going to get through
not
this?
Not worth it.
Did she say that? Or did she say it's not worth it? You know, the jury's out on that. I'm not sure.
I don't think a jury needs to be involved. I heard what
I think
I
as
heard.
Many juries need to be involved as possible.
It's not about what she said. It's about what she meant.
Oh, okay, fine. So we'll just we won't let her speak for herself. Then we'll just interpret what we think she means. Fine. Okay. No, that's fair. That's fair. That's good. Wonderful. Yes. So we have all kinds of other things to talk about today as well, because there's all sorts of things going on in the world. And locally as well.
Can I just mention, though?
Yeah, go ahead.
Write us at OTW at 2600.com. OTW, that stands for off the wall. OTW at 2600.com. Because there's so much going on, we want to know what concerns you. So if there's a story, something interesting, let us know. Mm-hmm. We can hardly keep track of it all and fit it into an hour show. And your help in whatever concerns you, wherever you are, maybe you're here in New York, you're in the tri-state area, maybe you're on the eastern seaboard, maybe you're in the middle of our country, maybe you're way up north or way down south.
Maybe you're on the damn space station.
Let us know. And occasionally we accept phone calls. That's part of our mandate here at a community radio station such as WUSB Stony Brook.
That's right. Speaking of the space station, it's going to be visible this week a lot.
You said, yeah, like very high magnitude. Yeah. Very. That means it's very bright.
Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, it's going to be very bright in the evening sky. Mm. I think around 8 o'clock. Go to heavens-above.com. You can find it there. Put in your town, and you'll find it. I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully it stays clear, though.
I'm not sure about the Heavens Above app, but will the SatFinder apps consider a space station a satellite and, like, track it?
It should. It
like,
is a satellite.
If you weren't able to see over the horizon because of some trees, would you be able to point one of the SatFinder phones? And it's not like a broadcast satellite, but could you say, hey, find the ISS, and it would, like, do the whole beeping and the crosshairs?
Well, if that one doesn't, there is one that does. You could be sure of that.
I'm really impressed with that stuff. We used a little bit of that to work on some satellite stuff over the weekend, and it was very helpful.
There's nothing I like better than a good app. You might not know that by the way I bitch and moan about things, but you know the app I really like is the one where you point it at an airplane and it tells you what flight it is, where it's coming from.
I think that's Flight Radar.
That is amazing. Yeah, yeah. I love that.
Yeah, I said it over the weekend. What would we do without apps?
Well, I don't know. We probably figure something out, but you know, I also like things to work, and I like to be able to be heard when I'm suggesting something that works a little bit differently. I have some suggestions about the board here at the radio station, but I'll get to that maybe later.
Oh yeah, we gotta get
in a private conversation.
Gotta get our remote set up going with an app that can use the Comrex here at the radio station.
Oh, that too. That
yeah.
too. That would be nice.
That would be a nice app to have.
So now we did have some letters from listeners. Here's one from a listener known as E85. And you can be known as that if you want. We're not going to say anything.
Is that an ethanol blend?
You know, I'm not going to make a crack like that either. Mm. It's you have the right to whatever name you want. Mm. In fact, we're kind of having a fight about that now on social media.
Oh, my gosh.
You heard about this?
I read up on this, and I think you're absolutely right. I think a lot of the points that have been raised are right.
Uh-huh.
But basically, this is regarding 2600, right?
Well, yes. It's a bunch of people have been talking about this and actually bringing it to our attention, the hypocrisies and just weird ways that rules are applied. For instance, we are known as 2600 on 2600 on Twitter. But we are not allowed to have a hashtag with our name in it because it's all numbers. That doesn't make any sense. If you say pound 2600, it doesn't show up as a hashtag. You know, it won't highlight. It'll just be number 2600. Now, I know why they did that. They did that so that every time someone says we're number one, it doesn't turn into a hashtag. But who says we're number 2600? You know, four digits doesn't apply. The same rule does not apply. And by the same logic, why do you have one-letter hashtags, you know, pound A? That doesn't make any sense. What kind of hashtag is that? But that's allowed. That's allowed.
So it's only the numeric that gets this rule, it seems. The alpha characters, the alphabet, Latin, not numerals.
Well, they don't have the same restriction, is what I'm saying.
It's a very specific way to apply it and would really only affect people like us and others.
It literally only affects us because or, who else? What other entity out there has a number for a name?
Like an area code.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What about hashtag 206?
Exactly. Oh, that's the best one yet. I was thinking, 8675309 is a good hashtag. But area code, sure, area code, that's an identity.
Hashtag
pound 631.
Yeah.
Pound 631, that's us, that's who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Those are our people. All right?
I'm beating my chest
Don't
right
hurt
now.
Yourself. Yeah, we can't have that as a hashtag. How dare you? How dare you, Twitter, tell us we can't do that?
Shame.
And that doesn't even take into account the whole verification business, which, verification is like a badge of honor. Where you're legitimate and you're basically taken a lot more seriously. There actually is a feature on Twitter where you only follow or you only hear, you only see what the post of verified accounts. They won't allow us to be verified for some reason, even though we jumped through all the hoops. Say they wanted us to both individually and as a magazine. Virtually every other magazine, virtually every other person of note has that little blue badge next to them. Won't do it for us. I don't know if it's because we're conservative. Wait, we're not conservative.
No,
that can't be
it's
it.
It's discrimination.
But I thought only conservatives got discriminated against on Twitter.
No.
No?
No, it seems to be that, because of our area of interest or because of perhaps political, I don't buy that. It doesn't sound right. And Twitter would probably immediately jump up and say they're apolitical. But to whatever end, it just seems that it's impossible to make a case. And this has been something that's been going on for years, I think 3 years. I remember coming back on a train and we were running into this from Canada, and that was years ago, at least two or three now. So, I mean, it's unfair, and it's our identity. Like, it's our identity. We're not going to change it. I mean, the policy is going to change before we change it,
That is one hassle. Exactly. So, interesting that is one hassle. That's one social media platform. But Instagram, for instance. Instagram is another one. We want to use our name on Instagram. And we're not allowed to. We're not allowed to use 2600 because it's all numbers. Now, they allow all numbers on Instagram. They just won't allow us to do it. So, people are – this is what I'm talking about tech apologists and tech shaming. People are like, why don't you just spell it out? Why don't you use a letter O instead of zero? Why do you have to cause such problems? Because it's our name. We want to use our name like everybody else is allowed to. Why is this even an issue? We know it's possible. We know it's technically feasible. And we're supposed to jump through all these hoops. So, we just won't participate then if these are the rules they're going to enforce where we don't get to even use our name. It's not fair.
Yes, F your platform.
Well, yeah, you could say that. But, there are other platforms too. Anyway, we never got to the letter that 85 wrote. He's talking about, or she's talking about, actually, I think it is a he because I see another name. Could the Queen come out and say we are staying in the EU and preempt the buffoonery currently occurring in Parliament? That's a very good question. I think the Queen probably could do that, but I think the Queen would be loath to do that because it would stir up the populace. And kind of like, in the days of the Nazis when there was some thought that the royal family might be allied with some of those people. It was a very uncomfortable situation for them, and they actually were concerned. So it's not something that I think the royal family would want to do because it would stir up a hornet's nest. And I think there are other ways of dealing with this. And where we're heading right now, I think that's probably the best path we could be taking. For instance, they just found out this week. This is incredible. There's a parliamentary rule apparently that says you can't submit the same proposal more than once. It's a parliamentary convention. It dates back to 1604, so it's one of the newer ones. It basically bans putting a measure to a vote in parliament if it has already been rejected in the same session of the legislature. So, that's the thing, that Theresa May, for some reason, thinks that she can just keep resubmitting the same proposal, and that's okay. Calling for another vote, another opinion from the public, no, that would be going against their wishes. But apparently it's okay to do that with Parliament, where you can just keep saying the same thing over and over again until it catches. Well, guess what? It's not going to work. That's not allowed. You got to come up with something different. And good luck with that, because the EU isn't going to give you anything else. This is it. This is what you have. And I think this is a great example of why it's a good idea to ask the people, okay, you know, things have changed. We're not asking the same question we asked back in 2015 or wherever it was. We're asking, what do you want us to do now? And what more democratic move can you possibly make than to say that? And I think we might be heading in that direction, or they might be heading in that direction. I certainly hope so, because I really don't think Brexit is a good idea. I really don't think it's a good idea for more countries to become nationalistic and to break away from each other. I mean, look at it this way. If you're in the EU, it's not very likely you're going to be declaring war on another EU member. Just, you know, it doesn't really work that way. If you're not, though, it's a lot more likely. And we've been doing this thing with the Academy Award winning films, where we keep watching a film. We're up to 1942 now, and since we're up to 1942, we're in the middle of World War II, and I'm seeing how it all just fell apart so quickly. How, you know, one country just invaded another country, another one declared war. Everybody was involved in this. It was madness, utter madness. You know, if you really want a good lesson on how it goes, how it falls apart, look up timeline of World War II and just go through every single day from about 1937, 1938, up until the mid-40s, and just see how every day brought some new horror, some new invasion, some new massacre. It's incredible how quickly things like that happen when there is no unity and when there's just a push for power. And that's why people are opposed to that kind of thing, because we've learned something from the past. And hopefully people will speak up and drive out those who want to return to those ways. And believe me, those people are all around us.
Yeah, and the things that people forget, I think, are that, you know, supplies and stuff were rationed. The entirety of their lives began to start forming around this war effort. You know, the propaganda and encouragement to enlist, to be drafted, was all over cultural artifacts of that era. Buying war bonds was everywhere, those kinds of things. We can't imagine that today, but we're in the midst of leaders and individuals who would be all too happy to return to that. I'm sure, aircraft manufacturers like Boeing would love to make a whole bunch of new fighters and bombers, and struggling automobile companies would love to make cannons and other weaponry for whatever militaristic utopia they envision for us. But our job, our duty as citizenry and as people who have learned from that history is to act in ways to prevent that and not get drawn into the allure of partisanship or of taking sides in that way. It is truly, it upends generation. It's truly a harmful thing to humanity, and we cannot look back and mistily at something that was really horrific on many levels and consequential, right? We can't just look at it as like, boy, that was fun.
Well, you learn so much when you go back in time and you just kind of try and draw things in as it was then. You see how racist things were back in the early part of the 20th century, and, you know, still are, but particularly so because you're seeing mass media for the first time. You're seeing how people treated each other, and there's no reason on earth to be sentimental for that, but there is a reason to try and live your life in that period in your imagination and say, what must it have been like? What could I have done? What would I have done? And try and sort of lose yourself in that particular world. Yeah, it's unpleasant. World War II was certainly unpleasant, but what would it have been like had you been there? What values would you have carried? Would you have been the same person? All kinds of questions that you wind up asking yourself, but only if you immerse yourself into that rather than just
from the comfort of your chair pass judgment on it from, you know, 100 years in the future and say, yes, that's wrong. We all know it's wrong. We all know these things are terrible and huge mistakes. But at the time, I dare say people weren't of that persuasion at all. And it makes you wonder, okay, what's going on today that in 100 years people will say, well, that was so obviously wrong. I mean, we have some clues. I think we have some pretty good clues. But I'll bet there are some things we're missing as well. And we need to be looking at that. You know, without being condemning and judgmental, realizing that we're all in this together, we're all making the same mistakes. Some of us are making more mistakes than others. But, you know, nobody has the exact answer. We need to be open to this. We need to be open to growing, to teaching. And unfortunately, a lot of it just seems to be who can condemn the most, the quickest. You don't get anywhere by that. I'm afraid this is what the Democrats are going to do in the year ahead. And I hope they don't. I hope they're able to keep some unity together. I hope people are able to support the overall direction that we're going, even though it's not going to be perfect, even though it's not going to be the people that we necessarily want to be in power to be elected. We need to put our eggs in the best basket and hope that things, things go somewhere. Did you see the press conference today with Trump and Bolsonaro from Brazil?
I saw a clip of him holding up a Bolsonaro jersey.
Yeah, I guess I didn't see that part.
So I guess Trump made the team.
It is just so disgusting. Bolsonaro is a horrible person. He said all kinds of hateful things. He's been implicated in all kinds of violence, and there's not enough time to get into all the evil that this guy represents. And the unfortunate thing is that he was elected fairly and squarely by a majority of the people, unlike in this country, where Trump was not elected by a majority. You know, in the old days, when the period we're talking about, these movements were very popular. You know, the fascist movements took over in country after country, and they were supported by the people. You know, maybe a fascist regime can hold on to power even without the support of the people. It's certainly possible. But when it has the support of the people, it galvanizes it so much more, and all kinds of horrors can happen. And I think, you know, we're seeing elements of that today, and I don't discount Brazil as being one of those, because this guy is evil in so many ways. I don't even know where to start, whether it's environmentally, socially, minorities, women. It's Trump and Duterte and all these people kind of rolled into one, and it's turning into a real axis of evil of a different sort. And seeing the two of them today just complimenting each other, it was sickening, because that is not what this country stands for. That is not what we are about. We are standing up for individuals, not monolithic dictators. And it's frightening to see where this could be going. That this is his first stop. This is where Bolsonaro goes for the very first time he travels as leader of his country. And I think, you know, we have to be able to speak up against this sort of thing. But, you know, the interesting thing about that press conference, one of the many interesting things, but this is kind of funny, is that Trump said he wants to make Brazil a member of NATO. He wants to make Brazil a member of NATO. Yeah, okay, you know, it's an interesting thought there, but you do know what NATO stands for, don't you? North Atlantic Treaty Association.
Okay. Organization.
I'm sorry.
That'd be NATO.
You're right. Thank you. I'm happy to have somebody here immediately correct me anytime I say the slightest word
wrong.
You're
cursing me out in your head.
We'll talk about this later.
Those are FCC thoughts. FCC violations.
NATO
thoughts.
Is the organization that has 29 members currently in mostly Europe and North America. But here's the thing. Do you know that NATO has a policy that even countries that have territories in other parts of the world, they can only be covered as far south as the Tropic of Cancer? Do you know where the Tropic of Cancer is? I printed out a map.
It's kind of near Cabo San Lucas, Cancun.
Yeah, well, there it is. It's
right
a big
around
line going
Nassau,
through the
Bahamas,
going through the world there, and it's just south of Florida.
Goes through the Sahara.
Goes to the middle of Mexico. And, you know, pretty much everything below that is not part of it. It can't be part of it. Mm. By its own rules, it can't be part of it. Do you know what NATO is, Trump? Do you have any clue? How can you bring Brazil into an organization that, by its own charter, it could not join? And so that's funny. That was funny. I enjoyed that. But a lot of the other things are not funny.
United Stupid of America.
As far as he's concerned.
Mm.
But I think people are smart for the most part. I think a lot of people get it. They just feel powerless. They feel like they're not being heard, whether it's from one side or the other. And I think we need to listen more. We obviously need to listen more because there's all kinds of things we can learn as well. But not if we have our minds made up and refuse to hear other perspectives, because there are many of those. And, you know, something else I realized, too, looking this up, we've heard this said many times in news conferences and speeches. The Democrats, you know, we refer to them as the Democratic Party. Have you noticed that Trump is constantly referring to them as the Democrat Party? It sounds clumsy. It doesn't roll off the tongue nearly as smoothly, but he keeps saying the Democrat Party. And I'm like, why is he doing that? And it's got something to do with their not being democratic in his eyes, I would imagine. I haven't actually seen the justification for this.
But they also get to have rat at the end. Right, wasn't that Jeanine Shapiro's whole thing? Is they're the rats,
that is
demon rats.
Yeah,
right?
It's thought of. I thought I was the only one noticing this, but there's a whole thing about this going on. It's thought of as an epithet for the Democratic Party in the United States. It's used in a disparaging fashion by the party's opponents. So when you hear a newscaster referring to the Democrat Party, you know whose pocket he's in, because it's been known as a Democratic Party for as long as I can remember, but now you're seeing all these outlets starting to refer to it as the Democrat Party, and it doesn't sound right. It doesn't work. I mean, imagine we started saying the Republic Party. You know, that wouldn't make any sense either. It just doesn't sound right. So anyway, this historic and occasional current usage includes non-hostile appearances sometimes. The term has grown in negative use since actually the 1940s, in particular by members of the Republican Party.
Always a good era to cite.
Yeah, it's true.
Nice reference, y'all.
But Trump has been using this more than anyone in recent years, and in a disparaging way. He's used the phrase repeatedly, both during his campaign and as president. Here's what he said in July of 2018. He said that the Democratic Party sounds too good, so I don't want to use that, okay? I call it the – don't interrupt the president. I call it the Democrat Party. It sounds better rhetorically. And then at a September 2018 rally, he said falsely that when you see Democratic Party, it's wrong. There's no name Democratic Party. Yeah, okay. At the Conservative Political Action Conference in 2019, that's this year, he stated that he'd like to say the Democrat Party because it doesn't sound good. But that's all the more reason I use it, because it doesn't. These are his words, okay? I can't make this up. He says it because it doesn't sound good. Maybe that's why he says everything, because it doesn't sound good. Anyway, NPR, National Public Radio, directed its staff in 2010 to use the adjective Democratic rather than Democrat. It was the organization's policy to call parties by the name that they used to refer to themselves, saying, "We should not refer to Democrat ideas or Democrat votes. Any deviation from that by NPR reporters on air or online should be corrected." So, it goes both ways. Delegates to the Democratic National Committee once proposed using Republican Party instead of Republican Party. What do you think about that?
I think Reapers.
What?
The Rep Party.
Okay, all right.
And do like some kind of death, like imagery to with like a reaper, like a sickle, like a something like, yeah. And then we can call them communists because they have a sickle and stuff. And
wow.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll go deep.
you've thought this through. Okay, if we could just insult people with their names from now on.
The Reapers.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
The committee failed to accept the proposal explaining that Republican is the name by which our opponent's product is known and mistrusted. also, the Republicans was comparable in terms of negative connotation.
Like can't.
Wow.
You know, like can, but can't. Republicant. Get out of their own way.
Uh-huh.
Can't help
anyway, it's,
being corrupt.
It's a thing. It's a thing. I didn't know it was a thing, and apparently it is a thing. So I'm happy to have found a whole community of people talking about this and getting really, really upset.
Very clever.
Uh-huh.
Very, very clever, Donald.
So we must focus some attention on the horrors that happened overseas in New Zealand last week. With the massacre of 50 people inside a mosque as a what I have no trouble calling a terrorist act by a white supremacist. Apparently Trump does have trouble saying those words and condemning those words. It's disgusting.
Yeah, he thinks it's like free speech or something.
I don't want to put words in his mouth, but he certainly doesn't seem to be able to put the right words in his mouth. He basically, if this was something involving a Muslim shooter in New Zealand, he would be all over it constantly. We all know this. And please, do not say that, no, he would not do that. He'd be treating it exactly the same. No matter how much you support the guy, you know he would be doing exactly that. He would be saying, we have to do more. We have to have more restrictions. Here, basically, he had a link to a Breitbart story. That was the only reaction he had for almost a full day.
So brave.
And then he basically gave sympathy to the people of New Zealand, not to the Muslim community, not to people in the mosque, people in New Zealand, whatever. I could even let that go because, he's kind of tone deaf. But to say nothing beyond that and to simply focus on his usual tax issues, economy issues, wall issues, it's disgusting. It really is. And in contrast, my God, The Prime Minister of New Zealand, what a leader she is, as far as just being there for the people, speaking out in condemnation of what happened quickly, and saying we are going to change laws to make us safer. And not in a bad way, in a way that makes sense. We're not going to have semi-automatic weaponry easily available. It doesn't affect anyone's speech. It doesn't affect anyone's freedom. It's common sense, and we're going to do it because we're pissed now, and we're done. We see where we were wrong, and we are going to fix this. And inside of 10 days, they intend to have this fixed. I mean, what a lesson that is for us who can never get off our asses and get something done, even though we are warned, we are reminded so many times, we just can't get it right. And all it takes over there is one horrible incident like this, which should never have happened. But it's frustrating, but it's also inspiring.
Yeah, there's a lot of difficulty there. I don't want to get into like semantics and technical differences and weaponry. I know where that conversation goes. We've had those conversations on this show, and I know kind of where you stand on it. I definitely think assault weapons and rifles like that, but I'm not quite sure what particular weapons were used. I wasn't really interested in getting into that because it's clear that the problem is the rhetoric and this disturbed or at least inspired individual that acted out there. Change the rules for semi-automatic weapons in 10 days, that's a very tall order and would be even taller here in the U.S.
Well, yeah, obviously. But that's because we have a gun lobby here. We have a very powerful and unreasonable gun lobby. Whereas there, it's more ruled by people, a democracy where people express themselves as individuals and are listened to. And I think in this case, I see people who are hunters, who are gun owners, gladly giving up their guns that they don't need because it makes for a safer society. And it's night and day looking at how they deal with things over there. Just the way that Jacinda Ardern, is that how you pronounce her name? The Prime Minister, how she dealt with consoling the victims. You know, I didn't even know that was her. She was wearing a veil and comforting people outside the mosque. She just seemed so real and genuine and non-political, not looking for a photo shoot or anything like that. Just basically, you could tell how upset she was. And she stayed to answer every question from every reporter and was very open, upfront, and human about it. And that's what we need. We need leaders like that. And I had no idea. I had no idea what she was like. I had no idea what these people were like. And it takes a great horror like this to bring out the best in people. I think we're seeing a shining example of that. And that's the good, I think, that can come out of this. New Zealand has a very open policy towards immigrants, towards people that are different, and they prosper. They prosper through that. They're a shining beacon to the rest of us, if we can get past our hatred and fear, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, we also have the idiots in Australia, for instance, the far-right politician Fraser Anning. You hear about this guy? He basically tried to blame the terrorist attack on Muslims by saying that they are the real cause of blood. The real cause of bloodshed was the immigration program, which allowed Muslim fanatics to migrate to New Zealand in the first place. I cannot even fathom somebody being so ignorant, so hateful to say something like that the day after. And, you know, you might have seen this guy on TV at a press conference where he's basically saying the same thing. There was this kid behind him who, as soon as he stood up to the microphone, basically took out an egg and cracked it over his head. A soft-boiled egg, and a raw egg, and it cracked it over his head. And got punched in the face as a result of that. But, wow, what a statement. You know what I liked the best? Is that kid had the fortitude to walk around with an egg in his pocket, you know, to just be ready to crack an egg over somebody's head. And I think we need to do more of that in this country. We need to walk around with eggs in our pockets, ready to strike back at the people who are saying hateful rhetoric and stupid stuff and people who basically deserve a wake-up call. Doesn't hurt anybody. It's annoying, yes. It drives the point home. It can't be detected when you're going into a building, so you can carry a bunch of eggs as long as you walk carefully, and use them as you see fit. That's what I think is probably the best way to be heard these days. This guy is being seen as a hero. This kid known as Egg Boy, yeah, that's what he's known as now.
Think about how carefully he had to walk around with that egg.
Right. Yeah. I mean, he basically had to. He basically had to not break the egg. So it's a skill. It's definitely a skill.
Yeah, and he easily strikes me as the type of kid. I mean, you might characterize as someone who wouldn't see the wrong in what these guys were saying. You know, what does he know? He could just as easily be supportive of this politician's attitudes in this situation, but the kid's confident enough to know what's right, and that's amazing considering what these adults are encouraging and talking about and spewing.
Yeah, I'm not saying you crack an egg on someone's head whenever you disagree with them. I'm saying if somebody says something particularly vile and hateful like this, and it's really hard to defend a statement like that, or if there's a Nazi, a real Nazi in town, not somebody who voted for Trump. I mean a real Nazi, somebody who marched in Charlottesville and things like that. Hateful people, racist people, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, all that. That was what the eggs are for. And it helps the farmers because more eggs are produced and used. And it's a nonviolent way of expressing yourself. And can you imagine if Trump got one egg on his head? How does he not have you know, this every single day. I'll tell you why. Because his staff doesn't have any guts. They're the ones that can get to him with the eggs. You know, they can get eggs into the White House, and every time he opens his mouth and says something stupid, here's an egg for you, sir. Maybe he'll learn. Maybe he will. He'll certainly wash his hair more. You know, it's worth thinking about.
Definitely got egg on his face.
And all kinds of fodder for jokes like that. Yes, absolutely. All right, speaking of stupidity, we have some local stupidity as well. You know, just when we thought things were getting better, you know, we thought we were moving in the right direction like so many other parts of the country. And we are. There's no question about that. We've been talking about legalization of marijuana for years now. Finally at the stage where the governor is about to put forth a bill. And what do you think happens? Our local politicians get an overdose of stupid. Yeah, both Nassau and Suffolk County legislators, both Democrats, by the way, have decided they want to opt out. They want to continue to make it not accessible in this county. Why? Because they think that it's going to be it's going to somehow make people more dependent on drugs like opioids. Like they bring up opioids like it's related somehow. They say we're not ready for it yet. All kinds of backwards types of excuses. Yeah, I'll read you a story that came out yesterday, actually. Nassau County legislator filed legislation to enable Nassau to opt out of legalized recreational marijuana sales should the state approve the program. Legislator Joshua Lafazan of Woodbury, who caucuses with Democrats but is not registered with a political party, filed the bill yesterday after a county task force studying marijuana legalization published a 107-page report recommending Nassau opt out of all cannabis-related commercial businesses. What really bothers me is that we went to a hearing about this where so many people spoke up with such education, such knowledge of what this entails and why it is a positive step. And what they took out of that was that people don't want it. It's incredibly weird how they just shaped it to be whatever they wanted to hear, and now they're going to try and get their way in that fashion. Now, his bill would prohibit the cultivation, sale, distribution, public consumption, and marketing of recreational cannabis products. Nassau County Executive Laura Curran, a Democrat, launched the Marijuana Task Force in January, which basically was apparently just propped up to be able to say negative things. Last week, her opposition to legalized marijuana sales was made clear. Also last week, Suffolk County Executive Steve Ballone, another Democrat, said he will propose opt-out legislation. However, the Suffolk bill has a sunset provision which would make it legal after the first year unless the Suffolk County Legislature extends a moratorium, which, you know, at this rate, I don't know what to expect. Maybe they would. The Nassau County Task Force on Marijuana Legalization and Regulation cited public health and safety concerns, including the risk of marijuana consumption to adolescents and pregnant women, and the cost of enforcement to localities, including training officers to detect drug-impaired motorists. Wow. So training. You're worried about training. In an interview last Friday, Nassau County Executive Curran said she heard an overwhelmingly negative reaction to the proposed state legislation. I don't know where she was listening. What I heard over and over is, now is not the time. We are not ready for this in Nassau County. Well, you know what? Get ready. For God's sake, wake up. Things are changing. We're not in the 1950s anymore. This is where we are going. And to say you're not ready, well, that's your problem that you need to fix. And I got to tell you, these points are not accurate at all. They are completely wrong. The statistics do not back up what they are saying. Marijuana legalization, as the mayor of Nissaqua, which is right near here, said that we're in the midst of a horrible opioid crisis and believes marijuana legalization is going to lead to more human suffering. No, in those places where legalization has already occurred, there's a marked decrease in opioid prescribing. And that means, you know, less dependency, less ensuing addictions.
Yeah, I mean, you need to really look at the actual chemistry and stuff. I mean, if you think about 20 milligrams of fentanyl or 20 milligrams of Oxycontin compared to 20 milligrams of THC, which is the strongest, most scary part of cannabis, you're talking about completely different compounds that have completely different physiological effects on both adults and kids. There are kids who are patients who are taking more than that, and they're just fine. But if it was an opioid, it would absolutely murder them. And I would just say that, like, the pregnant mother thing, like, if you are receiving assistance and you are pregnant, and you are tested in any way through the course of your pregnancy and are found to have THC in your system, that could jeopardize your ability to parent. You know, in other words, Child Protective Services will be on you, especially if you're getting assistance for medical costs and so on and so forth. I've known pregnant mothers who are paranoid about this, and in fact, I think it's a little bit stringent compared to other things like alcohol and the you know recommendations from pediatricians and so on for pregnancy and what to avoid and overall health and well-being of small children and babies. It's a misnomer. It's a scare tactic. I think with the opioid crisis, you're talking about people who have, as I said, physiological addictions to something that in the wrong dosage could really straight up kill them. And to that end, you're ignoring the fact that there's already medical provisions in the state of New York. There's pilot programs, a very successful pilot program for the sort of hemp industry and stuff. These politicians are on the wrong side of history, and they need, I'm not saying their concerns are totally invalid, partially maybe, but they need to think very carefully about where they are and where they fit in and realize they could be on board at the table helping set the standards for Nassau and Suffolk, mm-hmm, instead of resisting something that could be a real economic boon. When they sit down and look at the numbers, these dispensaries, the contributions for vertical integration of this economy, recreational, medical, industrial, all of it, those fees, that tax money could go right back into your school districts, go right back into treatment programs, you name it, contractors, HVAC, lighting, you know, anybody building, farmers out on in the rural parts of Long Island, mm-hmm, you have really got to think about what you're going up against. And the immediate thing, the first thing I thought when you read that, and the last thing I'll say, is that legalization in general is a recognition that there is a black market. So if you want to walk away and say you're going to turn your back on the legal cultivation and distribution of cannabis, you're also turning your back on the fact that that black market will persist whether you are involved or not.
And that black market is not going to warn pregnant women not to consume marijuana. They don't care. They're not going to talk to kids. They're not going to do any of that. They just want to make the sale. And when you say it's a gateway drug to other harder drugs, there is some truth in that. There is a little bit of truth in that, but it's not the drug. It's the person. If you go to some guy in a back alley to buy marijuana, you might ask, hey, do you have anything else? And he'll say, yes, in fact, I do. Would you be interested in some cocaine? If you go to a store to buy marijuana, that conversation will not happen. You will not have that kind of association, because it will be above board and legal, and the drugs are nowhere near the same at all. Now, you know, we're not saying that these people that disagree deserve an egg cracked over the head, because it's a legitimate disagreement. But we need to reach out and have this conversation. For instance, Farmingdale Mayor Ralph Ekstrand called legalizing marijuana unwise and harmful, and believes it will negatively impact everything from public health to law enforcement. Well, Mayor Ekstrand, I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing your name there. Farmingdale has so many bars on the street. And I would say that, you know, that causes some public health and law enforcement problems. And if the tables were turned, there'd be a much stronger argument for not legalizing all of those bars on your streets. You know, That causes a lot of harm. Marijuana does not cause anything like that. Now, people who abuse any kind of drug are going to cause problems. Marijuana is a less harmful drug that keeps people away from those dangerous and addictive ones. That is something that that is true. You can't really refute that because the facts back it up. Now, the problems that we were talking about, they go away when marijuana is sold legally. Legal sales help prevent marijuana from getting into the hands of kids. Why? Because a kid can't go into a store and buy marijuana. A kid can go into an alleyway and buy marijuana, but you know what? If it's legal, that alley will be used for something else, and it won't be as easy for kids to buy things illegally. You know, what they say about it not being the time, that might have been true 20 years ago. Things have changed, and they've changed because of education, because of the experiences that we've witnessed across the country. I have to say, what it is not time for is more of the same misinformation, more of the fear peddling that helped create the injustice of criminalization over the decades. We should expect more from our leaders, and I think we need to reach out to them to make sure they get it, to make sure they hear us. Because right now they seem to think people don't want this and that they are acting for us. They're not. They're not. And they need to do better.
Yeah, and there's so many issues. If they were really on board and part of the conversation, that they could lend insight and really help shape things like production methods, testing methods, how this industry evolves and matures is so critically important to work on and to encourage people, you know, to care so that we have organic, we have good ownership, you know, native ownership, black ownership, you know, all of those things really could be shaped and directed by this state and by these representatives. I really hope people look at it carefully and think really, really deeply about what the future could hold and how this commodity could really help the area.
This is an important issue. Look what you made us do. We're talking about Joe Strummer. It's a horrible thing to do. But, you know, we have to sometimes to make the point. And, you know, this is the time to get involved because you can make a difference in your local community, make a difference throughout the country as a result. Write to us, otw@2600.com. We'll be talking more about this in the future. You can believe it. And all the other things that are going on as well.
Get your seeds in the ground, people. Spring,
yes.
Springtime's coming.
Yes, absolutely. We'll see you next week. Good night. Thank you.